this hoax, period. If he wanted to clear his name, the way to do that was in a court of law so that everyone could see the evidence.
Now this cast a shadow of whether they're telling the truth, and he did this all in the name of self-promotion. And he used the laws of the hate crime legislation that all of us collectively over years have put on the books to stand up to be the values that embody what we believe in. This is a whitewash of justice.
Please rise. Court is now in session.
Just when you thought we'd have a quiet week. Of course not. There are no quiet weeks. Karen Conti joins us. Oh, so many questions, Karen Conti. So many questions. Let me start.
This is very dramatic. This was just a real drama playing out here in Chicago.
Let me start with what is an emergency hearing and why is it called that and what? What is it? Why?
Well, I really can't explain it because emergency hearings are usually because there's an emergency. There's no emergency when a case is settled and plea bargained or resolved or charges dropped. That's never an emergency. So why it happened the way it happened is bizarre to me. It drew attention to this whole case in a way that it probably shouldn't have been drawn, and it made no sense. Usually cases are scheduled. There's motions. There's status calls. So we all know when court will be called. This was something that was completely out of the ordinary.
So there are times, I assume, where the prosecution and the police disagree on the dispensation of a case that probably happened quite a bit. But in a high-profile case, isn't there conversation before a decision is made?
Well, that's exactly the problem, and that's where I'm coming down exactly at that point, which is, you're right, the police do all this work, they have all this investigation, they hand the charges over to the prosecution either choose to prosecute or not. They don't have any obligation to prosecute a crime. There's no rules about that. It's complete discretion. But once they do, it would seem, especially in a case like this, which is not only, you know, local, it's international news, that there would have been some sort of program. Okay, what we're going to do, they're going to drop the charges. He's already done his community service. We're going to announce that this is resolved and this is how we're going to do it. But it didn't seem like the police knew what was going on, and so they were left in the dark. And I think the public still thinks that maybe Jussie didn't really do this crime, when that's not really what we can glean from this.
No, and as a matter of fact, the prosecution inexplicably still says, we don't disagree with the findings, we just think this is the way to end this. So if a grand jury is impaneled, does that change the way the prosecution could dispense of a case?
No, a grand jury is just one way to get an indictment, but it's really just pro forma, because you've got the jury sitting there and the prosecution puts on the case. There's no defense. The defendant doesn't even know what's going on. And, you know, the prosecution, basically puts on a case, and the grand jury rubber stamps it and says, yes, we want you to bring these charges. So that really, once the charges are brought, the grand jury's, participation really doesn't matter.
All right, so we come to yesterday. Yesterday, inexplicably, all this happens. The police and the mayor are not informed. The mayor has called this a complete whitewash. Is this, in your opinion, a rich guy getting rich guy treatment, or is there something else going on here?
You know, in some regard, yes. But I think just so you know, disorderly conduct which is what he's charged with, which is a very strange crime when you're lying to the police. There should be a crime lying to the police, but it's called disorderly conduct. Those things get resolved all the time with no jail time served. So, you know, we're in the city with murders and all kinds of horrible crimes. So in the grand scheme of things, this is not a big crime. However, there's two parts to this. One is the amount of money that was spent on investigating this and caused by what might have been a false story concocted by Smollett, may have been. And two, it's a high-profile case. And prosecutors are allowed to use high-profile cases and high-profile defendants in order to make some sort of statement to the public that you're not supposed to do these kinds of things. And instead of using that, this case is that kind of precedent or an example, the prosecution basically just withdrew the charges. It could have been done better. If they were going to do this, there could have been a statement that was made that said, you shouldn't be making false police reports, and he's done his community service, and he's, had his, he basically, paid his price already. And but they didn't do it, and it made the public think that they disrespected what the police did, which is not the case.
Well, but how can you come to any other conclusion other than the fact that the fix is in? I mean, this is not me. You know, listen, I'm the last person to go conspiracy theory this or that, because the public assumes they know everything because they watch TV or they're online. In this case, the prosecution isn't even defending their decision. They're hoping it'll go away.
Yeah, it was just handled poorly, Steve. This could have been handled better if the case were resolved. And hey, how about having him plead to something lesser? How about one count of disorderly conduct and then do his community service and then forfeit his bond? But even in their statement, it seemed inappropriate. The statement that was read yesterday seemed to tie in the fact that he was forfeiting his bond, he did community service, and therefore the charges are not... We're not just pleading guilty, but they're dismissed and expunged as if they never happened. You know, so that's a pretty good result for Jussie.
Yeah, complete cleaning up of his record now, and Fox has no reason not to rehire him if they choose to do so. It's a great day for him. And yet, he didn't say, I'm glad this is over. I just want to get on with my life. He said, I've never lied about any of this. I've told the truth. I wouldn't be my mother's son. He continues to slam the Chicago Police Department and make a mockery of an investigation that was completed the appropriate way.
I suggest that if any of your listeners are really interested in this, just Google Smollett and proffer letter. And there's a proffer letter, which is something the prosecution puts together and gives to the judge during the bond hearing to say, this is what our evidence is going to be. It's four pages. It's single-spaced. It's exceptionally detailed as to the text came in at this time. This is the time they planned it. This is the text that was sent saying, I need your help on the Lodo. You know, and it has a timeline that explains what happened and explains the hoax and explains what evidence is there to support it, the check that was written, the noose that was purchased, all of those things. And it's very, very detailed. And so when you look at that, you say, this wasn't dropped for lack of evidence. This was dropped because it was a decision made to resolve this case in a way that everyone at the time, at least, thought was appropriate.
One of the rumors that's out there is Michelle Obama's right hand made a call, and the resulting text messages between Kim Fox and Michelle Obama's associates is the reason that Kim Fox recused herself from this case. Is that all? Does it happen where a famous, powerful person contacts a prosecutor and says, hey, give the kid a break?
Well, I know that woman, and she's a fine, fine woman. She is a very principled woman, and she is a woman that has stood up for women's rights and minority rights. My understanding of the chronology was that Kim Fox knew Smollett and had socialized with him, and that's the reason that she recused herself. And the call came either after that happened or after the decision had been made for Kim Fox to step down. So I don't know, I think what this woman was trying to do was to try to get the case brought, looked at by the feds, because I guess there was a lack of trust with the Chicago police. You know, those kinds of calls get made all the time, and lawyers get called upon, and I've been called upon to see what I can do to help something move in the right direction. I have people who say someone is not getting prosecuted for a crime that was committed. Can you make a call to try to get this done? And I do that all the time. It's not that I'm doing it because I'm politically important. It's doing that to bring to the attention of a prosecutor maybe something that they don't know.
The judge in this case, formality, just signing off on the prosecution's recommendation to dismiss, or is the judge involved as well?
Involved as well, but and the judge has the right to reject the agreement. But the judge usually goes along with the prosecutor in these cases. It's just that's the way the system works.
Who's the judge? Anybody we should know?
You know, the judge has changed because there was a judge, a preliminary judge, and then there was a judge assigned to the trial, and the judge that signed off on it yesterday, I'm not sure if it was the same person.
Okay. I got to ask you about Avenatti when we come back.
All of you know, for the entirety of my career, I have fought against the powerful. Powerful people and powerful corporations. I will never stop fighting that good fight.
I wrote the words. Karen Conti rejoins us. When are you on the radio?
I'm on the radio on Sunday nights from 7 to 9.
And, Steve, she's on TV today, right, Karen?
Yes, I've been on Fox nonstop with this Jussie Smollett thing. I'll be on about 7:45 on Fox and then again at 9 o'clock.
And if people want to call you at the office to tell you that they had nothing to do with the Jussie Smollett case, what's the number?
Please do, 312-332-7800, or you can email me at wgn@askkarenconti.com.
We don't have time to do this complete justice, and no, I didn't mean to say that. Michael Avenatti case. Avenatti appeared to be a lunatic shortly after he became a public figure, but this is beyond the pale, and now it looks like Mark Garagos may be involved. What do you make of this?
Well, there's two charges on different coasts. One is in California, and that is that he took money from a client. Basically, he settled a case, took the $1.5 million, and used it and lied to the client about it. That's a serious problem, and if that is something that he's convicted of, he will go to jail, and he will lose his license everywhere in the country. The one in New York is interesting. He is being accused of trying to extort money from Nike. And the interesting issue here is when lawyers make claims, if I said to you, Steve, I have a sexual harassment suit against you, and I'm going to sue you unless you pay me $10,000, that's probably a legitimate demand letter. But if I said, if you don't pay me $10,000, I'm going to expose pictures of you and whatever, 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 then that would be extortion. In the case with Nike, he was using words that were very threatening, and he was threatening to expose some scandal that he believed had happened, and he was using words that were very extortive, if that's a word. And the prosecutor said that went over the line of just litigation strategy, and it qualifies as extortion.
But you've seen a million lawyers who are thugs. Lawyers who just love getting in people's faces, especially in a settlement conference room, saying things that in a normal conversation people would find shocking. So is this case defensible? Can he say, look, conversations happen the way they happen. Yes, I said what you have on tape, but it was in the attempt to get a settlement on a case prior to going any further with it. Can he do that, and will he do that?
I think the case is defensible. I mean, I don't like his conduct. I think it's thuggish. And there's a way to do it. I mean, I've filed plenty of lawsuits where before that I say, listen, what's going to happen here is not going to be good. This is going to be made public. I'm not going to make it public. It's public record when I file it. It's going to cost you thousands of dollars in defense. It's going to embarrass a lot of people. Why don't we sit down and try to settle it now? Of course I can say that, because that's the truth, and that's the leverage you have as a lawyer who has a legitimate lawsuit. It's when you have a frivolous lawsuit, or when you're going and stepping over the lines of trying to embarrass people with things that don't relate to the litigation, is when you get in trouble. But certainly he can defend on this. I mean, he's an aggressive lawyer, and he has represented a bunch of high profile people, and this is the way he rolls.
The both stories will continue. We got a bunch of texters who are asking if the Northwestern, looking at Smollett's records, Northwestern Hospital mess, when that went down with a couple of people, if that had anything to do with the dispensation of the case so Chicago wouldn't have to deal with another big settlement. None of that was mentioned yesterday in the Smollett case, right?
No, I don't think it had anything to do with it. I just think this was a decision by the prosecution to resolve this case in a way to let everyone move on, but it was just handled poorly because nobody knew the reasons why it was happening, and that could have been done in a better PR fashion.
Yeah, I would agree with that 1,000%, if not for the fact that you pick up the phone and you call the superintendent's office and you call the mayor's office and said, you're not going to like this, but we're doing this because this is our decision. The fact they didn't call and the fact that the mayor and the superintendent found out the same time I found out, that's ridiculous.
Well, and everyone comes to conclusions that there may not be true. And I don't want to think about my legal system that people can pick up the phone and call and pay off and do community service. I mean, I said this on television yesterday. John Wayne Gacy was a great community service guy. He was JC of the year. He was head of the Polish Day Parade, and he killed 33 boys. Yeah. So community service doesn't mean that you didn't commit the crime. And I don't want people out there thinking that our system is all about, hey, do a few good deeds and we won't prosecute you.
Can't we just have one day where everything's calm? That's Can't we just have
right.
one
yeah.
day where the sun's out and everybody is just bored? Can't we have that?
But no one will listen to us then, Steve.
I don't know. The ratings are good. Thank you for listening, and thank you for being a part of this, and thank you, Karen Conti.
All right. Have a great day, everyone.
There you go. That's Karen Conti.